Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show as we start a new week on a Monday. Matt Catrillo back here with you in the producer chair. Thanks again to the suit for filling in on Friday. And Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, a great selection of pre-owned inventory. A great service department that simply gets it done for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with it all. And a sales staff that's not just there for the sale, but they're there for you. And that's why customers keep coming back again and again. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Head to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business. This time of the year, RV, boat, motorcycle. They got it all for you. Call them up, email them up. You'll get a good quote. They'll hook you up with the best deal possible. That's why they are the true pros when it comes to insurance needs. And it's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. And we got a loaded Monday coming up to kick things off for this week. Of course, the Pens, a tough ending for them as they drop Game 7, blow the 3-1 series lead, and lose in overtime last night to the New York Rangers. So we'll be breaking that down today with Paul Alexander from AT&T Sports. He'll call us at 4:06 today, and we'll break that down with him. When it comes to the Pens, if this is the end of the road, that's really the biggest question now for guys like Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. Then obviously we know what they've done for this Penguins team, and they'll certainly be honored for that, but that'll be the biggest question mark, obviously, for the Pens. Is this now going to be the time where they move on? And it's interesting because that was the question last offseason, and you see the kind of run that they were able to make. Unfortunately, things kind of fell apart for them. Sidney Crosby, of course, took the blow in Game 6. Pens dropped Game 6. They lose Game 7 the way they did. Crosby, though, able to come back. There's been a lot of talk, too, if that hit changed the series, and I guess I would say yeah, but at the same time, though, the Pens still have had plenty of chances to close out the Rangers, so I think that's a give and take, and I think that's more of an excuse and kind of a way of kind of complaining about how the series went if you're a Penguins fan. But maybe that's just the flyer side of me coming out. But there's no question it played a big part in this series. But if it was the turning point, I don't know. I'm not totally willing to go there. But we'll see what happens now this offseason for the Penguins. So we'll talk about it today with Paul Alexander. And then we have your former Penn State and NFL linebacker Nathan Stupar also joining us today. So we got a lot to get to when it comes to the Pens, Got Nate joining us a little bit today as well in a little bit, so got a lot to get to there. Wednesday, we will have Ala Abdunabi, the Sixers TV analyst from NBC Sports Philly. Just finished up his first year with Kate Scott. He'll join us on Wednesday at 3:35 to break down the Sixers and what was an embarrassing ending to the season. And I'll save a lot of that for then. There's now the offseason's a couple of days old now, but lots been said with Daryl Morey, with Doc Rivers. The biggest thing is, and again, we'll talk about this more as the week goes on, I'm sure, but I just don't get Doc Rivers coming back, but we can break that down another time. Had that planned out, didn't you?
That song stinks. That's just so bad. Oh my goodness.
I'm just glad that happened on Thursday night, so then I can just move on and have a good weekend at my parents' boat and forget about it. And the Yankees are still doing well, so whatever. But we'll talk to Al on Wednesday.
The part that hurts is you feel like they're wasting the prime years of one of the great talents out there.
No question.
You know, I mean, how much longer is Tyrese Maxey going to be able to play? No, I'm sorry.
I got a new Maxey jersey for my birthday, too. Which was fun. I had it because the plan was to have it ready for Game 7, but, yeah, that didn't quite happen.
Tyrese Maxey?
Yeah.
Oh,
I already have Joel Embiid, so I wanted to get somebody else. I chose Maxey.
Wow.
I'm not wasting my money on Harden.
I'm trying to think, like, which ones I have in my closet. That's right, none. All right, yeah. What? I think that, like, the suit has, like, Mario Andretti's, like...
Probably,
Whatever the heck they wear.
The fire suit? Yeah.
Fire suit, sure. Tom and Julie McGrath, they went to a wedding down in Lexington, Kentucky. So they're in Keeneland. And Keeneland is where they filmed a couple of scenes for the movie Secretariat. So Julie sent me a picture of her and Tom right outside the... right where they filmed the scene where Dick Girardi is in the scene. Okay. And Dick's asking questions about the Belmont. And they said, the tunnel that made Dick famous. So I texted back, Diane Lane, John Malkovich, Dick Girardi. We know who stole the movie. There you go. Boy, that was the hockey game sevens were all better than the NBA game sevens by a wide margin. Wide margin. I'll say this about the Bucks: no Chris Middleton. Huge miss not having Chris Middleton. That's a swing in the series right there in terms of the advantage. No getting around it. Tatum is huge in game six. That's what superstars do, by the way. When they need you, they play really well. They don't go in the tank. Where was your guy, Embiid, game five? Huh? Just kidding.
We should be asking that about James Harden. Joel Embiid get everything he had.
No, he didn't play well. I'm just kidding, because he was probably 70%. The guy had more guts than anybody. But then the Bucks were absolute champions at the end. You know, they were all class. You know, and if anybody had an excuse, it's them. They didn't have one of the top players in the league available to them. Just didn't. And they bowed out. I mean, with great grace at the end. I thought, And then there are other teams. Oh, come on, everybody sing along. The Celtics are in their 37th conference final.
Not surprised. I didn't know that was the actual number, but that's not surprising.
That is an unbelievable number.
Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain. Joel's not even the best center in the history of the franchise. All
pretty well.
Charles Barkley, I just made this up on the fly. I had no plans on doing this. Seriously, I didn't. I just fucking think it. You think I like every waking minute I think of the show? No. But I just thought if there was a way, like say for example you were in a prison and I wanted to torture you, this would be it. See, I'm trying to think. It would be Moses Malone, Julius Erving, Bobby Jones, Andrew Toney, Mo Cheeks. That was their starting lineup. And, oh, God, who'd they bring off the bench? That was a great, great team. Oh, my goodness, they're a great team. I mean, their problem was they would have won more than one championship if the Celtics weren't in their way at that time. You know, because the Celtics had Bird, Parrish, McHale. Then they acquired Dennis Johnson. When they got Johnson, that was the balance in the backcourt for them. That really swung it. I mean, that's the only thing that kept the Sixers from winning more than one title. Also, today, by the way, is the 42nd anniversary of when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, on this date, got severe migraines. So Magic Johnson, as a rookie, moved to center, and they went into Philadelphia and beat the Sixers. It's not a good day, is it?
Yankees are 25-9. It's a good day in that respect.
It's May 16th. The heck do you care?
A, those are the facts, and B, I just need something else to cheer about right now.
Did you have a great birthday?
I did. It was a fun birthday weekend. Nice little getaway out at Lake Wallenpaupack in NEPA. got some nice gifts, ate a lot of good food. It was a good weekend.
Well, that's great. That's great. I'm glad you did. You deserve that. It's good. It's really good. Couple notes dealing with Purdue football. One, Cole Brevard, who had been at Penn State, he was in the transfer portal. He ended up at Purdue. And then Milton Wright, who was the leading returning receiver for Purdue. You know, David Bell was their top receiver, but Wright was their number two guy. He's academically ineligible. He's out, off the roster. So I thought I would mention that with September 1st, when Penn State plays there. And trying to think, when the Sixers acquired James Harden, what the hell? I'm trying to think what I said in the show that day. Do you remember?
I can't really recall.
Oh, sure you can. Made you mad. You always remember.
I think it was something like, be careful, watch out.
He always comes up small in the postseason?
Yeah. That's all starting to come back to me now.
Then there's Chris Paul.
Oof. At least that happened.
But I'll go back. What did I say on Thursday's show? Remember what I said about Thursday's show about Chris Paul and what the Mavericks were doing to him in Dallas? When the Mavericks won back-to-back games in Dallas, remember I said, you know what? I said, Chris Paul likes to play a little bully ball sometimes offensively. And I meant that as a compliment, just an expression. I said, Dallas is starting to do that to him, and they're forcing him to defend bully ball. I said, it's making him massively uncomfortable, and he's not reacting well to it. Remember I said that on Thursday?
Yes.
Right? Well, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, he's one of those things where he's one of the top five point guards of all time. I can name 20 off the top of my head. Including, I just mentioned Allen Iverson, mentioned Mo Cheeks. I'd take them before Chris Paul.
Totally agree.
Magic Johnson, take him before Chris Paul. Walt Frazier. I could go through the list of guys off the top of my head that are better than him.
Here's the thing. If he didn't have this resurgence with the Suns this last two seasons, would we be talking about him? No. Everyone quickly forgets how mediocre he's been and injury-ridden he's been for this last part of his career.
Hey. He's made it to one final, and they lost four straight games after a 2-0 lead. Right? It's the only final he's ever been in his whole career. I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer, but don't tell me he's one of the top five point guards of all time. No, you can't do that. You cannot tell me he's one of the top five point guards of all time in the history of the NBA. The NBA is 75 years old. Right? You give me a choice between him and Walt Frazier, I'll take Frazier. Give me a choice between him and Magic, I'll take Magic. You give me a choice between him and Bob Cousy, I'll take Bob Cousy. I can go on and on and on with the number of guys I would choose before I get to Chris Paul. And this proved it out. All right. Nate Stupar at 3:35, Bob Grove and the Penguins 4:35, Paul Alexander today, and then do we have Tony Knopp tomorrow? Does that sound right?
Yes, Tony Knopp 4:35 tomorrow too. Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Knopp tomorrow, and then we Neil Coulon tomorrow. Ala Abdel Nabi in the depression half hour on Wednesday.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, come on. It's kind of, I'd say, very similar to watching Lucy hold the ball for Charlie Brown. And then the ball gets pulled. And then you end up with this.
Iverson brought
my new Eagles gear, too.
Oh, if you want, we can send you Jason Tatum shirt.
No, thanks.
No, he's still playing. Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, definitely. No thanks.
Steph Curry? Luka Doncic? Billy Cunningham?
I'm okay with that one.
No, Carolina Cougars, Billy Cunningham.
Oh, never mind.
Come on, vintage ABA. Come on, Billy C, who bagged the Sixers for the money.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat. They'll give you also financial advice. They'll do a lot of things there. Boy, they do a lot of great work at Purdy. Take a lot of, give you a lot of great advice along the way. They'll make sure you're fully covered. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords, 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Paul Alexander, next half hour. Bob Grove and the Penguins and the break, the potential breakup of the Penguins. It's where age comes into play. Because you've got Malkin and Letang both at 35. We talk about Joel Embiid being, you know, in the prime of his career, and like you feel, are they wasting it? That's not going to be the case with the Penguins. You've got guys that are past the prime of their career. And that's what we'll talk to Bob about. All right. But let's go to somebody who carved out a really good career at Penn State and then kept himself going in the NFL for 8 years. Nate Stupar. Nate, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. 34? Was your number?
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right. So far, so good. His dad was 72.
Yeah.
Yeah, dad was 72. Played defensive tackle on the 79 Liberty Bowl team.
Yep.
Yeah.
We had to pull out that clicking wheel to watch it.
Oh, that was cruel. That was cruel. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We always talk about patience. Patience has been a virtue your entire career. You were patient here at Penn State because you were behind Michael Motti. You were patient as patient could be in the NFL and eventually became a starter through your eight-year career. Where did that patience come from, Nate?
Oh, I mean, it was definitely a trying time, man. I mean, the Lord was definitely working in me, and it was just a day-by-day kind of thing where I knew I had the skill set, and I was just, I knew my opportunity would come. I never knew when. And in hindsight, looking back, I mean, the college realm, my career there was just kind of preparing me for my NFL career.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I lasted so long, 8 years in the NFL, is because, like, I wasn't doing anything different. You know what I mean? I was just waiting, as I was used to, grinding it out.
Yep.
When my name was called, I was prepared for it, you know? And that's what I was doing my whole college career. So when the NFL came around, it was nothing new to me. It wasn't, I knew I took one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 month at a time. And I look back on it, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm on year eight and now I'm retired. And so, like, I got a day job now, because playing 8 years doesn't let you retire, especially as a special teams guy. So
yeah,
you got to do something with your time. And yeah, man, I don't know where it came from. Definitely need it every day with my four little girls that are running around.
Yeah,
tell me what.
I understand that, because at one point,
right.
At one point, I had five of them running around. Your dad was patient too. I mean, your dad kind of, like, he kept working, because he and I were here together at the same time. And then he finally got his opportunity to start, and he made the most of it. He played really well. Jack Ham and I would watch you in practice, and this is how deep Penn State was at the time. And every time we'd walk out, you know, we'd talk about different guys, but we always said, Nate can play, right? Did frustration ever set in? Because, I mean, look, it was a different time. You'd have to sit out a year. Your Uncle Jeff, and for those who don't realize, the Hostetlers, you know, that'd be his Uncle Tramp. But there's only one quarterback. What kept you? What kept you here and not transferring?
I mean, to be honest, I tried to transfer my senior year.
Did you?
Because I remember, not many people know this, but going to camp, I mean, spring ball, like, it was me, Mike Motti, and Gerald Hodges, and anyone know from hindsight, obviously, looking back at it, like, wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a starting linebacker corps, because we all played in the NFL for at least 5 years.
Right.
So. And so I remember just going in. I pulled my hamstring in spring ball and stuff like that. And.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden we walk, like, we pack, we go into the dorm rooms or where we were living for camp, and we go into the first meeting linebacker room, and I got moved under Mike Motti again, and they moved Glenn Carson up. Was he a freshman or a sophomore? I can't remember. They moved him to Mike, and my heart just sank. I'm like, are you kidding me again?
Yeah.
And I remember going back to my dorm room, laying on my bed and just weeping. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I was just so flustered and so distraught. Okay. And I remember just talking to my dad and parents. I'm like, get me out of here. And I tried to transfer to West Virginia, because that's where my uncle played, so I had connections there. I tried to go to Cal UPA to go play with my little brother. He was a fullback there, and kind of like grind it out from a lower seed and try to go up, as some people do. And it just, nothing fell through, you know what I mean? And I stuck it out. I felt like I had one of my best camps ever that year.
You did.
I'm like, it's my fifth year. Like, I'm balling, like, barely making mistakes. Like, it was unbelievable. And I remember going to, like, the breakfast at Joe Paterno's house, and all the seniors were there. And Joe probably even brought up, I don't even know who's going to start, Nate or Motti. So, like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I have a chance at this. I'm like, finally. And first game rolls around, nope. Second game rolls around, nope. Third games roll around, nope. And it was those, like, and Mike was playing well. I'm not going to take anything.
Mike was playing
Mike
really
was playing
well.
Really well. He was playing really well. We were down against Indiana. He jumped the seven route, intercepted. We came back, won the game. He was a hero. Good, you know what I mean? Good for Hamlin. And I was getting, like, spurts of plays. So I'd come in for, like, 4 or 8 plays a game. You know what I mean? Not much. And, but, like, I had 4 plays against Alabama at home that 1 year, and I made 4 plays.
Yeah.
And I remember Joe Pa coming up to me like, hey, we got to get you on the field more. And I'm like, yeah.
You think so?
And at the same time, I was begging to be on special teams, and they weren't even playing me on special teams. And it was tough, because I was a special teams ace. That's how I made my name, and I love special teams just because I have a passion for it. And because I was never too good for it, and they weren't even putting me on there, so I was just standing on the sideline, and I was just really, really, really upset. And It came to a moment where after that Indiana game, we were prepping for, Central Michigan or I forget who it was. And right before that game, we're on a Wednesday practice, and I threw my gloves on the ground, and I said, I'm done. I quit. And I went back to my locker, texted my dad, and I go, hey, look, I'm done. Like, I'm done with this. I want to marry my girlfriend, Marissa, who's now my wife. I'm like, I want to move on. Like, I'm done with this. And my dad was like, don't do anything rash. Come home. We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so I do that. I go home. We sit on the porch, and we're just bawling. We're praying. And because I only live 3 minutes away from there, 3 miles, my parents do.
Right.
And my dad said, I don't know what the Lord has in store, but he has a purpose, and we just can't see it yet. And he's like, you never quit a thing in your life. Why start now? And so I went back. When I found my gloves on the field to pick them up because I needed them for practice.
Yeah.
And yes, what happens is they actually do stay out there.
So then you went through practice, and the next game came around, and still nothing the first half, man. And my dad on the sidelines, I went over to him, and he's just like, man, this sucks. I'm like, yeah, it does. Then I started looking at Motti in the third quarter. He went to go make an open field tackle in the D-gap, and he just tore his ACL again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Was this a Temple game?
No, okay. It wasn't Temple. It was like Central Michigan.
Okay,
or something.
All right.
It was like a green team with an E on the helmet.
Right.
That's all I
can Eastern
remember.
Michigan.
Eastern Michigan. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? And me and Mike locked eyes. I'm like, just stay down. Because I didn't know. I was just like, I didn't know what happened at the time. And he goes down, and I felt so bad. Because you never, like, you want your opportunity, but you never want it to be because someone just got hurt. You know what I mean?
And you guys in that room are tight to begin with anyway.
It's different in college.
Yeah.
You're all fighting against the
sure.
It's a position balance stuff. NFL is a little bit different. It's more buddy-buddy in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. The NFL's all business.
Yeah, because you know, it all comes down to money and who likes who and who gets paid more. And that's a completely different discussion. But
yeah.
He went down, and I go in. My first play is sack. I go and start the rest of the 9 games. I go get invited to the NFL Combine, go get drafted, and obviously my NFL career is completely a different story. But, man, like, from going to quitting one day to going to start and just because I never should have played in the NFL at all, because if it wasn't for my dad and my mom being there in the most crucial time, and my wife girlfriend at the time, Marissa,
yep.
Like, I never would have been where I'm at today, and I thank God that I had the people in my corner to be there for me.
Yeah, because you get to the end. All that special teams, and you were on some practice teams along the way, but you kept your career alive. And at some one point, the Giants, you started. And just what was that like where you just, like, looked around and go, I'm starting in the National Football League?
Yeah, my first starting game, it was funny because you mentioned the Giants. I finished there, but my first actual start in a game was with the Falcons, and I started at Sam, which I never got any reps at during
ever.
Camp.
Yeah.
Ever. And so, I mean, I played DN in high school, so it was natural for me. I loved the Sam position while I was with the Falcons. And I remember my linebacker coach, it was like Wednesday practice, the meeting, like, we finished the meeting and we're breaking and going out to practice. He goes, hey, Nate. I'm like, yeah, what's up? He goes, you're starting at Sam this week. I turn around and I'm like, what? He goes, you got a problem with that? I'm like, no. I go and open my playbook, start trying to learn the Sam position. I'm a very smart guy, so I knew the whole entire defense already.
Right.
Just the calls that you have to make when shifts happen and the adjustments you have to make, you never practice them. I only did for a couple of times. So I remember going out there for the first practice and they're like, Stupar, you're supposed to know what's going on. I go, Coach Smith. I'm like, hey, look, give me a day. And after that, I was golden, man. And I had like 7 tackles at Sam. Like, I had a really good game. My whole family came and whatnot.
That's awesome.
That happened a couple times throughout the year where I started at Sam. I actually started at Mike and I started at Will all throughout that whole year. And I remember I was playing at Mike and Will for so, I was playing at Sam for so long. I was there for like 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we need you at Mike. I'm like, okay. And the first practice on a Wednesday practice, it was like the worst practice I ever had. And they're like, dude, are you okay? I'm like, look, give me a day. I go, I was on the ball for 6 weeks.
Right.
Now I'm behind the ball. I go, I just need my eyes to adjust. And then I go ball out for the next game. And I'm just like, calm down. I know myself and just give me some time. So a lot of interesting times. But, yeah, it was fun starting and especially at home, near home in New York. So,
yeah. So what are you doing today?
What am I doing today?
Yeah. Because you referenced earlier, it's kind of helped set you up for today. So.
Yeah, right. I work for RH Marcon, which is a commercial roofing company here in State College, and I'm the Vice President of Business Development and Maintenance. So I am the Vice President of Maintenance. I oversee that, run it, manage it, and make sure it's running smoothly. And I also do a lot of the sales and stuff like that with like re-roofs and the roof maintenance that we do on roofs and the service work. And right now I'm mobile, but it was a rainy day, so I'm just working from home today and just looking out the window right now. I see Mount Nittany. I see Tussie on the side of the mountain and talking to you guys, man, right now.
Well, it's amazing how life works out, isn't it?
Right? Back at home, both sets of parents here and my best friend, my brother, Robbie. He lives a mile down the road from me, too. He just built. So, yeah, enjoying it, man. I mean, Marcon's a great company, family-oriented, and they love their employees and take care of them.
Yep,
so.
Know the owner. Yep, know the owner. That's what happens. We've all been here for such a long time. Everybody knows everybody. Hey.
I know, right?
Great having you on the show. All right, we'll get back on because, I mean, I feel like we only scratched the surface because there's some great stories there.
I'm an open book, man. I'm an open book. I got nothing to prove anymore from football, so I can let those stories roll.
See, that's the difference.
No one can fire me now.
I feel like I've got something to prove every day because I still can be fired. All right.
Yeah, right?
Nate,
you have a good voice, though. You got a good voice, decent.
All right. I'm hanging in there with it.
Right.
Hey, Nate, thanks so much. Appreciate you.
No, appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Nate Stupar, former Nittany Lion, played in the NFL for 8 years. The only requirement we had on the interview was we were not supposed to bring up James Harden, the Sixers, or Ben Simmons.
Well, I'm glad he didn't because that was awesome.
Well, no, it would have been better because, I mean, we all have definite opinions. Yeah, it's like... There are games this week, right?
Yes, I'm aware.
Your cast is getting older. Oh, well. So is the fan base. Okay, look. Fan base getting madder by the day. I've noticed that. You guys get mad. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, in some retrospects, yeah. It's been a while, as you detailed earlier.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, none of you were alive. We'll come back with more in a moment. It's like me saying, hey, the Red Sox won in 1918. Same thing. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
May is National Military Appreciation Month. During the month of May, we will honor, recognize, and appreciate all the men and women who have served and are still serving our great country. The United States remains the land of the free and home of the brave because of their selfless service and sacrifice. From all of us at Purdy Insurance, thank you for serving our country and protecting our freedoms.